I'm Jeb Sharp, and you're tuned to The World. Imtiathal Mahmoud is a senior at Yale. Her family is from Sudan, Darfur specifically, a region of Sudan where war has been raging on and off now for over a decade. Here in the U.S., Mahmoud's been making a name for herself on the poetry slam circuit, and her poems are often about the war back home.
Ivory when the sun hits bone at high noon. Burgundy when blood dries, it chips as if it's trying to escape back into a body. I can never forget how much death loves my people, the way they fall asleep at his feet. Burgundy blankets, burgundy pillows, but our tears are colorless. There is no hue to shade this pain.
Emmy Mahmoud left Sudan with her family when she was just a baby. She grew up mostly in Philadelphia. But when she was 7, the family returned to Darfur for an extended visit. While they were there, the government stopped paying teachers. Mahmoud remembers the day the adults in her family went to protest the shutdown of the schools.
The kids, we were at home, and we saw the smoke rising from downtown, which is where our parents and aunts and uncles had gone to protest. And then we hear screaming, and everyone is running back toward the villages, back toward their homes. And I remember there were these two schoolgirls, older than I and my sister and cousins were. They came and they knocked on our door, and when we opened it, it was very scary because they said to us, "We need to hide now. They're coming." And we said, "Who are coming?" And they said, "The soldiers." And we just had no idea what to do. So all of us just ran inside into the bedroom and hid underneath the bed. So our family members came home with blood on them, and they all looked very devastated because as I got older, I found out more and more why it is they looked so devastated. Not because the schools stayed closed for longer, but because this government killed people for a protest, for protesting.
Can you, having witnessed these things and gone back and forth and lived the life you've lived, is there a way to say how this experience affects the way you see the world, not just Darfur?
Yeah, this might sound funny, but you would expect people who have gone through such trying experiences to have a very negative view of the world. But the reality is that the people who were around me during this time, they have such a positive view of the world. Something that sticks out right away is how we used to have breakfast in Sudan. There would be warplanes flying overhead, so you couldn't really hear anybody talk. But we would be sitting there, and it would be wonderful to be around your family in that moment. And the faces we would make and the ways we would communicate when we couldn't speak over the airplanes, and the jokes that my aunts and uncles would make in between the planes. I remember even my cousin one time, he said, "Oh, look," he saw me look up at the plane. I looked up and I looked a little bit scared, I'm assuming, because I saw two planes flying overhead. They always fly in pairs. It's very strange. And he was just like, "Wow, that guy is still chasing the other guy? Man, I thought he caught him already." And he made a joke about it and we kind of laughed it off. And in that way, you try to create some kind of stability in such an unstable time.
That's great. Thank you for helping us see that. It brought a smile to my face. I would love you to read from your poem, Mama. This is the poem that won you the individual World Poetry Slam Championship last year. You tell us a little bit about how you came to write it and then read us a bit of it.
It's mostly about my mother on the surface. But the reality is the things that I learned from her, she learned from her mother and she from her mother before her. So I called it Mama and made it about my mom. But the reality is it's about the women in my family and the women in my life. When I was 7, my mama cradled bullets in the billows of her robes. That same night, she came home and taught me how to get gunpowder out of cotton with a bar of soap. Years later, when the sons of soldiers held her at gunpoint and asked her who she was, she said, "I am a woman. I am a daughter of Adam. Who the hell are you?" And the last time we went home, we watched our village burn. Soldiers pouring blood from civilian skulls as if they too could turn water into wine. The woman who raised me turned and said, "Don't be scared. I'm your mother. I'm here. I won't let them through." My mama gave me conviction. Women like her inherit bruised wrists, tired eyes, and titanium-plated spines. The daughters of widows wearing the wings of amputees, they carry countries between their shoulder blades. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for reading that. We need to wrap up, but I wanted to ask you, you got the chance to meet with President Obama last week. What was the occasion, and what did you tell him?
I got a call from the White House, and I was invited to participate in this roundtable discussion with President Obama, and of course I was over the moon. It was for his visit to the Baltimore Mosque, the Baltimore Islamic Society. We were brought there to talk to him about our experiences and about just everything. It's a very all-encompassing kind of conversation. I focused on internalized oppression.
Did you tell him anything specific about that, about breaking through that, or how it relates to what he's been saying?
The conversation was actually off the record. And
fair enough.
Yeah. That's why I was sharing in general what I said, but not specifically just yet.
Let me ask you this. Does it feel like an exciting time? I mean, in one way, identities are really up right now in the national conversation. That could mean you're sort of put in a box as the, you know, the kid from Darfur. On the other hand, it may connect you with all kinds of other people on all these other issues. What does the moment feel like to you?
I think the moment is a pretty brilliant moment because, yes, I'm a kid from Darfur, but I'm also a kid from Philly, which is very important. That intersection of those experiences links me to a lot of people. And at the same time, I'm also a kid that's graduating from Yale in a few months. And so that gives me a platform that a lot of people who go through what I went through don't have. It's something that you can use to help others get to where you are. I think who I am and what I do have combined in a very beautiful way.
That's really, really wonderful. And it sounds like your audiences really share that feeling too. Emmy Mahmoud is a writer, Poetry Slam champion, global health researcher, and senior at Yale. Thanks so much, Emmy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And you're listening to The World.